Zaz is on the. Oh my gosh.
Chaos.
Crash, boom. Derek's camera cuts out. Oh man.
Hello, friends and fiends. Welcome to Bugs Need Heroes, a podcast where an artist and an entomologist team up to illustrate the inspiring abilities of insects by creating bug-themed superheroes. I'm Amanda.
I'm Kelly.
Producer Derek and Zatz are also here. Before we get started creating this bug-inspired hero, what's bugging you, Kelly?
Oh, thank you for asking. spring is finally here.
Spring has sprung.
Spring equinox, well, like maybe 10 days ago, I guess. And it's a little chilly here on the northeast, but it's nice and sunny, finally. Mm. So yesterday I repotted all my houseplants that were pretty root bound. I feel so bad for them. So everyone got a slightly bigger pot, and then we'll see how that goes. Hopefully I didn't kill any of them.
I desperately need to repot my bathroom plant. I've got a couple plants in the bathroom and nowhere else in the house. But I strongly suspect that Senior Splashy Jr. is root bound in his little pot. That's my bad for being a bad plant parent.
It's hard because you don't really know when they're root bound until you check. It's not you know what I mean? It's not like,
it's a bit of a Schrodinger's plant ball here.
Yeah. I rescued a snake plant, or I think they're also called a mother-in-law's tongue, from someone who was moving from our building a while back. And I knew that plant was root bound because it was cracking the pot open.
Oh yeah, that'll tell you right away. Yeah. That terracotta can't stand against this mother's tongue.
It was like a thick ceramic pot.
Yeah, plants with we friend of the pod Ped. Although I don't get the impression that he does a lot of plant stuff. He just knows a lot of plant stuff, but maybe I'm wrong.
He's
about
got
that.
Plants. I've been to his house. He's got plants there. And he's got he takes care of a big greenhouse at Monmouth University.
I think he said when he was on with us that his wife has like bad allergies, and so he doesn't do as much as he wants.
At home. Yeah.
Ain't that just
but
the
I'm
way?
Pretty sure he has at least one house plant in his house. I'm trying to remember. I really just remember his dog. He's a very cute dog.
I mean, I don't blame you at all for that. A plant doesn't interact back like a dog does.
Yeah. But and two very cute, adorable sons, and his wife is lovely. I don't like only focus on the dog when I go to someone's house.
No, you're that person at a party who's
friend
like,
of the pod pet, I love you and your whole family's wonderful. I know he's listening to this.
But it is like rain on your wedding day when you're a plant guy. And your wife has too bad allergies for you to have it. Oh, well.
Yeah. But yeah, so I spent like yesterday repotting a bunch of the plants. And hopefully they're all happy now and can spread out and grow a little bit bigger. And yeah.
Yeah.
You said you have two in your bathroom?
Yeah.
Do you have a window in your bathroom?
I do have a window. The place in my house that gets consistently wet in the air. If that makes sense. Like with four of us living in the house.
You mean it's humid?
It's humid in there. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, yeah. Words that are better than my words. Wet in the air. But it gets humid enough in there with enough people showering or taking baths or whatever that if I forget to water it for a week, it's fine. It all works out because it was humid enough with this broad-leafed plant that it got enough of what it needed. And then I just put a cup of water on it every now and then. And it's been fun. It's lived like 20 years in various bathrooms.
Oh, nice. Here.
So that's why I call it Senior / Junior is because there's no way it's the original plant. It's definitely one of the little seedlings.
Well, it's like Theseus's plant.
Yeah, exactly. What's the original plant? Who's to say?
If you replace the whole plant, is it still the original?
The whole plant's a new plant now. That's why I just, it's probably junior at this point, but I just go with one junior.
My mother-in-law has she calls it a Christmas cactus, but I think it's actually a false Christmas cactus. Not that it matters. But I think that thing's been alive for 30 years. So I tried to take a cutting from it and I'm attempting to grow it now, but I don't know if it's going to take or not.
I think Christmas.
I'm hoping I'll just inherit it.
Is, yeah. At this point, you're just waiting for it.
Just, you know? Give me the big one.
Give me that 90-year-old plant, please.
Mm-hmm.
I think Christmas cactus is the only plant that my mother has ever like gotten to survive inside the house. Because a cactus is...
It's a big mom plant.
Yeah, big mom energy on the Christmas cactus. Yeah. Like, it just needs to live in this corner, please.
And it's, what, what's bugging you?
I'm just having one of those days where it just feels like everything's like a little bit wrong. You know what I mean? Like, you, I'm sorry to hear that. 20% wrong. Like, it's fine. Yeah. You're gonna be okay. But like, everything's just like 20% wrong. Like, it's just like slightly too hot, and my hair is slightly not cooperating when I brush it, and my toothpaste is on my shirt just a little bit. You know, like just like death by a thousand cuts is how I'm feeling today. But yeah. Now I'm gonna talk to my friend Kelly, so it's gonna be okay.
Oh, thank you. And your little children are growing and giving us little milestones.
Well, it's spring, as we've said now. And so my children have decided that they're going to grow up without my permission. Like, as the life cycle goes on, my oldest has lost his first tooth, and I hate that. Because now he's like a big man.
He looked very proud in his photo. The photo you said he was very proud.
He was, I mean, he's just so excited. But I am heartbroken that he is like big and like this, the circle of time goes on, the wheel of time. And then my youngest is turning 2, and she has fully decided I'm 2 and no one can tell me anything. Which
already.
Is already. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like, I think I may have even said this before. She is definitely the, fruition of a curse laid upon me by my mother, as many mothers have over the years, which is, of course, I hope you grow up and have a daughter just like you. And that is my daughter to a T. She is very, it's like going back to 1992. There I am sitting on the floor coloring with crayons. Now back to 2024. Oh, there's my 2-year-old sitting on the floor coloring with crayons. It's amazing. But it is also harrowing.
Does she have more of your personality?
Yes, definitely mine. Talkative, wants to draw all the time, loves to carry around her toys, and the toys talk to each other, which is very, very funny because she can barely speak herself. And then she's got like Mickey Mouse in one hand and a zombie toy in the other. She's going, "Oh no! Oh no! Oh no!" It's very cute. But
it's very cute.
Yeah, my oldest is more Cody, my husband. A little bit more. He likes to jump off stuff. He likes to investigate things before he dives in, you know.
He's more methodical.
Yeah, he's a very sweet boy, but he's definitely got math brains. And I think my youngest is
math brains.
Yeah, math brains, you know, like, I mean, I guess some people would call it type A, type B. My oldest is not a very, like, structured person. But, like, math just came to him super easy. You know, he learned to multiply at 4 because he has math brains. Whereas my youngest is just so talkative. I'm not saying that she won't learn how to math correctly because she's not even 2 yet and she can count to 11. I don't know if that's a good marker of her intelligence or anything, or just that she spends so much time with her brother that she learned to count to 11. But I don't know. They're just very different. They're just very different kids. And that's very sweet and very, very interesting to watch as an adult.
That's interesting. Yeah.
But definitely one, the boy takes after his dad and the girl takes after her mom. If the circle of that, we definitely just like printed ourselves and reintroduced ourselves to the universe.
In my family, it was the opposite. I'm just like my father, where I walk like him, I talk like him, I look a lot like him. We're very logical and just, I don't know, like, but my brother is very much my mom.
Yeah.
And he looks like her side of the family too. He has red hair and...
I would say that's true of Derek and I. Derek is more like our mom, and I'm more like our dad. Dog versus cat energy funny. Happening.
It's funny how that works, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I think everyone in my family is dog energy, though. Wow. Although, I don't know. I might be cat energy. I'm not sure. But
I mean, it also depends, like, what room you're in. Like, yeah. That'll change, like, what your energy is. I'm a dog all the time, though. No one could take away this dog energy.
Well, speaking of rooms and pets.
And spring.
I think today's topic... we'll be talking about a particular family of beetles called Dermestidae, Derma for skin. They're called skin beetles.
It sounds gross. Oh my gosh, what a horrible phrase. Skin beetle. Like, the whole point of this podcast, Kelly, is to help people get over their bug aversions, and you're not throwing me any softballs with skin beetle.
Hey, I don't name them. I just talk about them.
See, I mean, the more we do this, bird people more than bug people, but bird people love to name things ridiculous things.
There's lots of ridiculous bird names. People like it
too, though.
Never, you know, people think biologists don't have a sense of humor, but we do. It's just a little different, that's all.
just a little kooky.
It's a little kooky. But there's lots of different kinds. There's about 1,800 species of these beetles, but I really, for today, wanted to cover two that are a little bit more important and a little more noticeable for us. So one of them is called a carpet beetle. Are you familiar with the carpet beetle?
As I know, the carpet beetle is the guy I see. He's eensy weensy, very crushable.
Mm-hmm.
And he's brown with sort of like a variegated stripe pattern on his back. That's the carpet beetle I know. I don't know
they're probably the same thing. There are several species.
This could easily just be one of those things where it's like, oh, that's a beetle that lives on your carpet, so it must be a carpet beetle. But like, easily, it's not like the actual biological. Like, these are carpet beetles. These are skin beetles. And that might just be a beetle that is often on my carpet.
I mean, that's possible. Maybe you've seen their larvae are very fuzzy. The larvae are sometimes called buffalo moths. I don't know why that is a thing. And woolly bear, which I'm very much against. They are not woolly bears. Don't call them woolly bears.
How dare you?
Absolutely not. No. I've never heard anyone use either of those terms for those larvae, though. But apparently that's a thing.
Okay, I've just Googled brown carpet beetle Oregon. And he is a carpet beetle, the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
So I'm in
it's
the
got
clear.
Kind of like orange and white pattern on the back. Yeah. They're kind of pretty. They're just really teeny, so it's hard to see.
They're weensy. They are absolutely teeny tiny. And now that you've said that, think about the fuzzy larva. One of the fuzzy larva has come up as well. I don't know that I've ever seen these guys. Except
really? You've never seen the larvae before?
I don't think so. Or if I have, I think I might have assumed they were moth larva.
Hmm. So they like to eat animal matter. So if you have pets, we have cats and we have a crappy old building, there's lots of space between the sort of the floor and the wall, and they tend to have their eggs and their larvae in that space. So, you know, and because they eat pet hair, they eat felt, feathers. They're kind of a pain in the butt for in museums, because they would get in and eat the specimens, which is annoying.
That's interesting. I hadn't considered that they might be like eating like when you think about, oh, my costume got destroyed, my clothes in my closet, one of which may be a costume, you don't know, but like, you think about moths doing that, but it might be beetles doing that.
Moths do it too. So a moth will have more of like a spotty pattern in the clothing. If it's a carpet beetle larva, you're going to get a bigger hole in one area.
Oh.
Because they're not flying around. They're just...
Yes, that makes sense.
You know.
They're just...
They're slow munching.
They're making crop circles. Just
The moths also only eat... during the larval stage. The adults don't eat anything.
Oh, so, yeah, they're right.
The other thing with the moths is they leave silk behind as they go.
Okay, yeah, we can mention both those things real fast here.
Well, I was going to interject.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, okay.
That's fine.
I know bug things.
Okay, yeah. I just don't know how much you want to be on, all right?
Not typically a lot, but I do have an interesting story about these carpet beetles. Zots, you cannot play with that.
What's he playing with?
He's trying to knock the beetles off the shelf. Oh, he's done that before.
He just wants to be part of the bug conversation.
It's probably because you feed them cat food.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
You've created a incentive for him to knock your beetles over repeatedly.
So when we lived in an apartment, my wife and I, we started noticing all of these beetles showing up in the windowsill. We figured out they were carpet beetles. This is before I was familiar with them at all. And they eventually did go away after my wife got a significant haircut. Because she was no longer had such long hair that was occasionally, you know, shedding or whatever, as long hair does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh,
long
yeah.
Hair, definitely. My hair is everywhere. And even vacuuming, I have long hair and it's just all over the place all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was just brushing my hair this morning going, how do I still have hair when so much of it comes out every single time I brush it? My old boss used to say, I have enough hair. I was a nanny, so I was working in their house, and they would say, I have enough hair here to make a whole nother Amanda because of how much hair I would like shed every spring like a cat.
Well, your wife must have really done a lot of hair shedding to change the population dynamics of the carpet beetles in your home.
Her hair was down to her waist.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's very long.
Yeah, and then she got it down to shoulder length. So she took off like 2/3 of it.
Yeah, that's a big cut. That would make me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
To make a change that big.
It was
I wish my hair was longer. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've done big chops like that twice. Or actually I've done big chops like that several times because I've never really done anything with my hair, if I'm honest. I just kind of let it grow out of my head and whatever happens is what happens. That's not my business. So I've cut it several times where it's like 16 inches and then you donate the braid.
Oh, yeah, that's very nice.
And then I chopped it down to my chin both times I was pregnant because I was like, I'm not dealing with this. Goodbye. I'm hot all the time. Goodbye, hair.
I cut it short once in my early 20s and then really just regretted it.
Yeah.
Like, super regretted it. And now I just get it trimmed every once in a while. Oh, right now I have long layers, which is fine, but it doesn't matter. Hair.
Well, hair. Well, I mean, yeah. you could be having larvae in your house right now from that luscious locks.
I could. They're probably here for my cats.
Yeah, they're more likely for the cat.
And the cat fur. And now that it's spring, so our cats are going to start shedding a lot more because it's warm.
Now's the time.
And they need to get rid of that winter coat. So we need to be much better about brushing them so we get that extra hair off of them and it doesn't end up like on the floor feeding beetles or whatever, like stuck in a corner of the apartment. We have a few rooms in the apartment to take care of, but yeah, so these beetles are kind of a pain in that way.
Has anyone done any experiments to see if they prefer any, I know you hate when I use the word prefer, if they
I don't hate it.
My
PhD committee hates it.
Oh, okay. Well,
it is anthropomorphizing, which is not great for
research. Are they more attracted to animal hair versus human hair versus chemically processed fibers like wool or anything? Do you know?
So they won't eat anything synthetic. They don't like synthetics.
Unless you spill things on your clothes, then they'll munch
at that. Yeah. Yeah. If you like get a stain on your shirt, I did read about that, and you don't wash it, they will eat the stain in your shirt.
So
it's got food on it.
So I'm drinking my Kool-Aid and I spill some Kool-Aid on my shirt and then I leave that shirt in a place where my cat may frequent, so the beetles are about. And then they'll come to my shirt and eat the Kool-Aid stain off. Oh my gosh.
Well, they'll eat through your shirt in the process because they don't have sucking mouth parts.
Right. They're not licking it clean.
You know. Yeah.
They're just eating the fiber it's on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that anyone's done a study on if they have a particular preference. I would assume it probably doesn't matter that much, as long as it's... Because in the wild, you'll find carpet beetle larvae in rodents' nests and birds' nests. So they're eating feathers, or they're eating rodent hair.
So it's not even it's like a mammal thing. It's literally just bioproducts of animals.
Animal product is, I guess, the nice way to put it.
Gross.
Yeah, animal leavens.
Detritus. Okay, so in the wild, in a world where humans weren't building houses, they wouldn't
That question a lot, actually, about bugs we find in our houses that we mostly find in the house. So, like, what did they do before
us? What did they do before? Where did parking lot birds live before there was parking lots?
Exactly.
Because they're just suited to the parking lot.
All these animals existed before us within their ecosystems, and now we just give them an easier life, so we find them indoors. Cellar spiders are called cellar spiders, but they weren't born in cellars.
The barn owls weren't waiting around for us to invent the barn. They're like, oh man, you guys, it's finally here. They invented the barn.
Oh, and because the adults, like a lot of beetles, feed on pollen and nectar. So once you see the adult beetle, it's really not going to damage your clothing. It's just the larvae.
Okay. So the moth larva and the carpet beetle larva are in your closet eating your food, eating your clothes. Om nom nom. Mm-hmm. But once the moth is an adult, he oftentimes no longer eats at all, right? Because he's off to go find a lady wife.
He's looking for a lady wife. Yeah. They would also eat nectar if they were outside.
Okay. But the beetle.
They're probably not eating anything in your house. Yeah. But they're always looking to mate, you know.
Well, you know. You know how moths are. But a beetle continues to eat after he's larvated and pupated.
Yeah. Well, they should. I don't know what they're eating inside. I know as adults, the beetles. Derek made a good point that maybe the closet moths may not have mouths. I haven't really done a lot of reading about those, so I'm not sure on that. But it's very possible. We do know there's lots of species of moth and butterfly when they reach adulthood are just no mouths. They're one purpose and then you're gone. Yeah.
They're just tindering around the beetles, your neighborhood.
Yeah. But the carpet beetles should be feeding on nectar and pollen as adults.
So what's the life cycle egg to larva to adult beetle?
Our carpet menace.
Because so many of them spend forever as larva and then they're an adult for 7 days.
So the female carpet beetle will lay between 30 and 100 eggs. Usually depends on like how well fed they are. And it depends on the species. So not all species can lay up to 100, some lay somewhere in between. And they hatch in about 2 weeks, which seems to be pretty typical of a lot of the bugs we've covered. Maybe a 1 to 2 week hatch delay. And then the larvae are probably, it's your classic example of conditions are great. They will be larvae to pupae in about 60 days. If conditions are not great, whole year, Amanda. Whole year hanging out in your house.
They're eating my stuff for a whole year? So rude.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why in the spring, difference. Sometimes you'll see adults and sometimes you'll see larvae. Because the adults can kind of hang out for a while too, depending on how long it takes them to become.
That's really interesting to me that bugs can like delay their like life process. Like you don't see like... an elephant who like just stays a baby elephant for way longer because well, you know, the conditions weren't right, you know,
not right for
the
me.
Stars were not in position. Can't do it. You know, I think you do see it in humans, not physically, but mentally, but the conditions aren't right.
Mentally.
You'll just stay.
Yeah. I think I've met a lot of those.
I think I might be
one of those actually.
We've all met that 28-year-old. You're like, you haven't pupated yet. You know, delayed pupation. You're on diapause for maturity.
Go back to the soil. Take a long nap.
Yeah, you're a cicada.
Munch
clearly
on your tree roots. Yeah.
You need another 17 years.
Oh man, but yeah, so they can take a whole year if things aren't really going in their favor. And then once they become a pupa, that's lasts between 10 and maybe 17 or 18 days. And then the adults can live for 20 to 60 days. So, but it, like I said, everything in your house, the conditions in your home might be comfortable enough for this cycle to just be happening all winter, depending on where you live. For me, it's too cold. So we like have a pause in the winter, right, and then they start coming back in the spring.
We have that interesting thing here in the Pacific Northwest where it gets cold, but it doesn't ever really get like hibernation cold. Like the squirrels are like, we got to get ready for winter. We got to get ready so we can go hibernate. And then they like don't ever really hibernate because it doesn't ever really get cold enough. You know, like a bear is sitting in the woods for 6 weeks. Like, I hope it gets cold enough for me to go in this cave.
Yeah, I've really only been out there in September for the Comic-Con, which is pleasant.
Yeah, it's very nice. September's a nice time. Right now, very nice. It was beautiful at the park yesterday with my kids. Just that like light jacket weather, which is my favorite kind of weather. Cool breeze. Yeah, right now it'll be nice and then it'll be hot and then... But I say hot and I'm talking like upper 80s, you know, like that's hot for me. And people and like, you know, all across the country, I can already hear it. I can hear the people listening to this podcast right now saying, Amanda, upper 80s is not hot.
You can add Amanda at Amanda Arunide on Instagram
and say, Amanda, you don't even know what heat is. And to which I would say, yes, that is correct. I am a soft little doughboy where I like to exist in my temperate zone. Anywhere between 68 degrees and 81 degrees, I'll probably be.
I'm the same way, and we get really hot temperatures over here in the summer, and I can't stand it. I just feel sick. Mm. I immediately feel sick if it's like past 80 degrees. My body does not acclimate to warm temperatures.
I get
and then I just feel
red
nauseous.
And yeah, and like lethargic and gross.
And dizzy. I get kind of dizzy.
Yeah. A sick feeling, yes. I think it's the Northern European in both of us. Yeah. We are meant for mountainous climbs.
I'm very comfortable in cold weather. You know, I wear tank tops all year round. Like I'm really pretty warm most of the time.
I got yelled at a lot.
Thanks for summer field work.
Oh yeah, there you go.
You know, summer field work is not fun for me.
No. I just saw an ad yesterday that was like, do you want to count bugs with us? This job will last for 6 months and you'll count bugs all summer long. And I was like, this is the perfect job for someone, but it ain't me.
Count bugs?
Well, I think they call it like wildlife survey or whatever. They don't call count bugs. I think Derek did it with turtles in like Pennsylvania or something 1 year.
Oh, that's cool. I used to work for Audubon, New Jersey Audubon, and we did bird counts and stuff, which was fun.
It was mosquito surveillance you're thinking of, probably.
Oh, that's probably what I'm thinking of. That's right, because you and Kelly are both on team Count the Mosquitoes. Get a petri dish, yeah. Pull a little...
Well, guys.
Yum!
Well, I do find... I'm surprised you don't have I'm not surprised you don't have a lot of carpet beetles because you don't have pets.
I have children right now more. I did notice them a lot more, I think, when I lived at my parents' home with a bunch of other teenagers. You know, I'm one of four. I feel like they were in my house a lot then. But we also had a cat at that time.
Oh, yeah.
You said carpet beetle an image came straight into my brain right away. So I definitely have encountered them a lot. And now for a very special moment where I talk about when I kill bugs. This was in the before time, before I knew better. Carpet beetles make a very satisfying crunch when you crush them under your fingernail because you don't want a bug on your...
Oh, I don't... I just... I just throw them outside. I don't think they're getting back in. Not from my balcony. They're not. They just go right over the edge.
Bye.
I'm 30 plus floors up. So I just launch them over the side.
You're up there. I mean, what a way to go, though. Fine. He's just like, what?
I mean, for him, it must feel like forever. For him, it must feel like he's falling from like the very sun onto the earth.
Well, what's interesting is that they can fly. I know carpet beetles can fly. They have all the right flight anatomy. Although, like, the papers I looked at mentioned them flying. I have never seen one
I've
fly.
Never seen one.
Not once.
So we had one in our room yesterday. At least I think it was a carpet beetle. I think it was the black carpet beetle. He had like a little bit of a design on his back, but I couldn't really tell. In my daughter's room, now that you say, like, I'm surprised you don't see them. There was one in my daughter's room yesterday. And at one point, I was trying to take a picture of him for Derek to say, look, I found a carpet beetle. And a little bit of his wing was sticking out of the bottom. And it occurred to me that, like, I don't think I've ever seen one of these guys fly. I mean, he definitely has wings. He has the...
Yeah, they're under the elytra.
The elytra. I was going to say the elytra. I'm so smart. I'm such a genius.
You are so smart. I love it. Gold star episode for Amanda right here.
Thank you.
Gold star.
So I was like, he's got the elytra, and I can see just the tip of that little translucent bug wing.
The little wing. That, like, yeah, the wings are very pretty.
Didn't quite fold in correctly, which tells me that he probably was thinking about flying to get away from my camera prodding him.
But they just don't.
They just don't.
I've picked a carpet beetle off my wall and put it in my palm and, like, touched it, and it doesn't do anything.
No, I had it on my finger trying to take a picture of it. And it was very similar to a ladybug experience, except for that when a ladybug gets to the tip of your finger, they leave. But the...
They call it quits.
Yeah, they're like, I'm out of here. Bye. You know, but the carpet beetle was just like, all right, I guess I'm on your finger now. Now what? Now what are you going to do?
Sorry to interject again, but I do have video of one taking off that I can potentially add to the show notes for this.
Yeah, add it to the show notes, because I also want to see it, because I have, they just don't.
It's a quick little, like, 1 second clip, but I'll see if I can make into a GIF or something.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Let's get that out there for the people, because they don't fly in my home. They do need to know. I need to see it happen.
I mean, they have that classic sort of beetle-y shape.
Mm-hmm. Although I'd say they're more, looking at the underside of a ladybug feels a little flatter. These guys continue to have sort of a round belly. There's a different belly shape to them.
Well, they're just so full of hair. You know. Gross. I wonder if bugs ever deal with, like, bezoars. Probably not, because they are designed to eat it.
No. Yeah, they have all the equipment to break, all the enzymes to break down hair. So they're called carpet beetles because carpets used to be made. Now carpets are synthetic.
I was going to say.
But carpets used to be made out of wool. So they would be, they would destroy your carpet.
Are definitely made to mimic that wool look, but they are not wool.
They're not wool. No, they're like
out of my carpet
plastic,
right now.
I guess. Out of polyester. I don't know what we make carpets out of. But yeah, so they were a nuisance in the old days. When carpets were wool, they would just eat through your carpet, which I'm sure was very frustrating at the time.
No, especially because, I mean, we use carpets now to, like, you know, soften our houses, you know, but back in the day when you had, like, a big rug, that rug was, like, purposeful.
A nice big area rug.
Yeah. I mean, that was designed to keep the heat in your house. That's where, like, here's some history with Amanda for you, Kelly. Do you know why it's called a threshold on a door?
No, I don't. Tell me.
It's because back when the poors tried to have houses, but you couldn't
afford
it.
How
dare they? if you couldn't afford, like, an area rug, that sort of thing, your house would be covered in what's called thresh, which is just, like, wheat leavings. You've taken the seed off.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
Thresh. And so your house would be, you'd have a thatch roof and a thresh floor, and you had to have these door jams on each door to keep the thresh inside your house, or inside the room it's meant to be in. So your house
that's
be,
interesting,
and that's why it's called a thresh hold, is because it's supposed to keep the wheat you're using as a carpet in your house.
Oh, I can't imagine all the bugs that were in people's houses back in the day.
Right?
If your carpet was wheat thresh.
We're
wimps
about bugs, considering how buggy life used to be.
Oh, absolutely.
Life on this planet must have been such a buggy experience up until probably the 1920s, you know, when we all started kind of moving.
Yeah, we've separated ourselves from nature as modern humans. But we're healthy.
We don't even let headlights live in our house anymore. We've disconnected ourselves from nature.
Well, now maybe I feel a little better about the carpet beetles.
Oh no, yeah,
you get like a few a year and it's fine, you know.
No, don't feel bad.
I just
about
did a vacuum beetles. Of all around. Yeah, I just vacuumed like all the corners of my house, trying to get their eggs out.
This is going to get me accused of being gross by my husband because he's like a zero tolerance bug. He's like, he doesn't want a bug in the car. He doesn't want a bug at the windows. He doesn't want a fly flying around the house. He's
they make him uncomfortable. That happens.
He doesn't like it.
Some people are just uncomfortable. Yeah.
His generation of going way back has separated itself from bugs for so long that he no longer wants the bugs. I think a little bit of bug is fine. I think the carpet beetle, when domesticated to only eat the hairs off my floor, he's doing me a favor, frankly. So maybe
he is, but sometimes I find them, sometimes I find their larvae in my fresh towels in the linen closet. Oh. And I don't care for that.
Oh, see,
I don't want to dry myself off and suddenly there's like a larva on my shoulder. I'm not interested. I need a
clean towel. You, Kelly? Okay, fair enough. Fair enough for that. But like,
well, the larvae have this dense seti. Remember what seti is?
Yeah,
hair. Dense hair.
It's like, and not quite hair, so it has to be called seti.
Yeah. But they can cause an allergic reaction in some people. If you breathe that seti in, it can, you know, give you breathing problems. So I don't really want to smear them on my body when I get out of the shower.
Fair enough. Look, I'm not saying you need to invite the carpet beetles in. I'm just saying if a carpet beetle is in your house, it's not like you did anything wrong. The carpet beetles are where you find them.
No. Yes. It's just, it doesn't mean you're dirty. I don't want people to like worry. You don't have a dirty home because you have carpet beetles or pantry moths or pantry beetles or any of like the indoor pests we sometimes get. They just happen. Nature happens, and sometimes nature happens in your house. It's just the way it is.
Will happen in your house. Listen, these guys have been bugging on this planet for how many millions of years? What chance do you stand? Really, in the grand scheme of things, with your house that's barely even 100 years old, to keep these millions of years of bug evolution out of your house. You don't. Embrace the bug. Let the bug in.
Yeah. I mean, you know, vacuum. Do what you can.
It's so funny to me that I'm on like Team Bug and you're on like, maybe vacuum your house. Nothing animal.
Oh, well, you don't want to get a rash or anything.
Right. I'm looking at the crispy cusp of a beetle larva that they leave behind.
Yeah, they leave lots of skins behind.
Lots of skins behind. And I'm recognizing these skins now that I know what to look for. And I think I've just assumed it was moth larva all this time, but it's really carpet beetles. I think
The little husk.
Yeah, I think the thing I'm missing is if there's silk there, it's probably the moth. But if there's no silk, it's probably this beetle.
Yeah. Dermestid beetles as a whole, as a family, have been around since like the early Jurassic. So don't feel bad. that they might be in your home.
Tyrant lizards were shedding their skins. You've been having beetles. So when you say dermestid, my mind goes to Derek's collection of beetles that he keeps on his desk. That he's brought over to our family home, to my parents' house, to show to our nibblings, our nieces and nephews. So I've only ever seen them eat hot dogs. But
well, hot dog is an animal product. So
and what an animal product it is.
And what a delicious animal product.
Just some would say hot dog byproduct, because you can't really call it animal product anymore.
Yeah, so those are hide beetles, what Derek has. Well, hide beetles are interesting for a lot of reasons. So they preferred to lay their eggs in a corpse. Corpse of your choosing.
The ultimate animal byproduct.
Yeah, yeah. The final the form.
Final product.
And so they, all right, so I guess we'll start at the beginning with a corpse.
A very good place to start.
Yeah. The males show up and the males do their thing and they're waiting. They're releasing pheromones to summon in the ladies, as they do. So the ladies know when they smell a bunch of males in one area, and they're probably also getting scent detection from the animal corpse in itself, that it's time to come, and they mate. And they will lay about 3 to 20 eggs at a shot. She can lay up to like 800 plus eggs in her lifetime. So they'll do multiple generations. The carpet beetles only generally do one generation. So this is part of the difference between species in this family. So the larvae go between 5 and 11 instars, which takes about 5 to 6 weeks to become a pupa. And then the pupa is about 7 to 8 days. And then, as everything, it can be delayed if the conditions aren't right. But all of this is taking place on a corpse. The corpse will take maybe like a month or more, depending on the size, to completely decompose. So you'll get lots of different insects coming in and out of during this time period, and growing and eating and consuming. And this particular species is actually really important to forensic entomology and dating the time of death when we find a person, unfortunately, who was, either
shuffled
passed on naturally it can be very helpful for murder investigations. They're used with police investigations, and they're a pretty, I don't want to go too much into the forensic stuff because I think we want to do a whole episode on that, and we'll cover all the bugs. Well,
we could talk exclusively about CSI, the original CSI, where I believe the like main detective guy is a forensic entomologist. Every time he like walks into a scene, he's like immediately looking for, like, he's like, these are rash guarded reticulated miasmas. That means the body's been here for 8 days and 37 minutes. And you're like, Bishop, how do you know that? That doesn't make any sense. And he's like, I'm a bug entomologist. I guess I'm a bug guy. Well, because like I think I haven't watched the show in so long, but I believe the whole thing is that he's a bug guy, and then he got like pulled into forensic entomology. So he like really is a bug guy who's just like a little bit,
who just happens to be doing
right
this.
Into the darkness of I can use my bug powers for good. That show should not have lasted as long as it did, that is evidenced in one person only, which is that the main female lead was named Sarah Seidel. And I was like, guys, you can't name a character on a murder show Sarah Seidel. Please.
Yeah.
Oh, not boy. Good.
I have never seen an episode of that show.
Oh, it was my like go-to after school watching as a teenager. Which, you were a spooky girl at one point in your
life. I was a spooky girl, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm still a mildly spooky adult.
I was deep into that. I went through my true crime girly phase really early in my life. I was really into like CSI and those sorts of shows and like the true crime. Now I can't listen to true crime at all because it freaks me out.
I listen to it all the time.
I
like it.
I'm on the minority of that.
It depends. I don't like, sometimes they can be quite exploitative of the victims and the family, and I won't listen to that stuff. But if you're more focused on like how much of a piece of human garbage the murderer is, I'll listen to that. Yeah.
What a piece of doo-doo this guy is. Can you believe
it? Trying real hard not to curse. So Derek, yeah.
No, I don't mind the ones where it's like oh, this was like a series of betrayals. He betrayed her, so she betrayed him. She hired this guy and he did this.
Okay.
Like, I don't mind those ones, like those conspiracies of like, look at all these garbage people being garbage to each other.
To each other, yeah.
Right. The ones I don't like
you
are
can't
the,
do like the serial killers.
Right. I don't like the like the no knock, oops, you were just in your bed and now you're gonzos. Like, I
that,
don't like
yeah, that. That can be scary.
But I do like the intrigue ones of like, he was having an affair with his nanny's best friend, but she was actually his stepsister.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
those ones like the cookie. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you're like, look at how complicated these lives are. You know, it's basically just the soap operas with murder.
Yeah. Yeah. But what's cool is that you can use these beetles to figure out that the time of death, it's called the postmortem interval, I think is the forensic term.
Right.
I wanted to take a forensic entomology class in college, but there wasn't really, I think there was one class offered and it was a mix of grad students and undergrads, but I think it was at 5 p.m. and I said, no, I'm not taking a 5 p.m. class.
I got things.
I'm finished. Thank you. Yeah. Well, because it would have been optional. I was already done with all my coursework. And I would have just been taking it and paying money to take it because I was interested.
Right.
But not from like 5 to 8. I don't want to do that. Anyway.
So, Kelly, have you heard of Matter Eater Lad? Because that's the vibe I'm getting from Carpet Beetles right now.
No. What is Matter Eater Lad? Tell me.
So a brief history of comics. There was this comic called The Legion of Superheroes. And I know it best from a cartoon that came out in like the early 2000s in which a young Superman, he's not yet Superman, he's still Superboy at this point. He hasn't really figured out his powers. He's still living in Kansas, but he doesn't have an outlet for how to learn to use his powers because you can't just go around Kansas lifting up planets.
Being super?
Right, exactly. somehow or another, Superman figures out, at this point still Clark, how to go into, I believe it's the 31st century. And he trains up how to be a superhero with the Legion of Superheroes, which is a team of superheroes made of other powered teenagers from across the universe. The problem is that they phoned it in so hard with all of these B-list heroes for this teenage comic. They all have stupidest names, not the least of which being, of course, Matter Eater Lad. Would you like to guess what Matter Eater Lad's power is?
Does he eat matter?
He eats matter! Yes, correct! And the part about it that makes me crazy is that he wasn't even the only one who could eat matter. Like, his whole species can just eat matter. Any matter at all, because like,
so anything basically,
like mostly, you know, metal and, you know, things that other people can't eat. That's what makes it special, is that he can eat through metal beams.
So he would solve our landfill problems.
Yes,
very quickly. Then
he could eat through stone, he could eat through metal, and that oftentimes that's how he was helpful, is that it'd be like, oh, this doomsday machine, and Matter Eater Lad be like, no problem, chomp 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 chomp. Done. You just eat it.
Oh.
But like, the story goes.
That sounds like classic lazy DC writing. DC fans.
It really was. And like, the whole of the Legion of Superheroes is made out of characters like this. Sorry to harsh on anyone who just loves the Legion of Superheroes. But they had some really, really dumb ones. Let me pull up the list of characters who was in the cartoon show that I watched. But they all have like the most cliche names. They're all like Saturn Girl, and there was one who could shrink, and her name was Shrinking Violet, and you know, those sorts of things.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Yeah, the main characters, besides Superman was the main character, and the one I watched all the time was Lightning Lad, Saturn Girl, Brainiac 5, Phantom Girl.
Oh boy. This
Bouncing Boy was one of my favorites. Which I guess what Bouncing Boy's power is.
Oh, does he bounce?
He bounces. his body is rubbery and springy, and most of the time he like formed a ball and kind of bounced around. Triplicate girl who could make triplicates of herself. Chameleon boy who could shapeshift.
I don't like it. I don't like any of it.
It was just it was right in that period where they're like, comics are shifting from like an everyman sort of reading. You know, you can find romance comics, you can find horror comics, you can find monster comics are for everyone. And this is kind of part of that shift into like, comics are just for kids. It doesn't matter if it's quality, just put it out there, you know? And so they're not great. But Matter Your Lad and his whole species could just eat matter. And if I remember correctly, he could eat any matter because there was like a plague on his planet. And so they had to like figure out other things to eat. And I was like, that happened fast. You guys really figured that out quick. That turns out you could just eat metal this whole time. Yeah. So that's the vibe I'm getting from Carpet Beetle right now, is that like,
from Hide Beetle, maybe?
Yeah. From beetles. Well, I mean, if we're talking about
domestic beetles in general, I suppose.
If you're talking about a guy who's going to eat your carpets, but also your clothes, but also a hair, but also feathers. So he could eat through like your pillows. He could eat through your jacket.
Yeah, if you have down pillows. I have I have a pinned insect display, and somehow they got in there and ate one of my grasshoppers. So I was pretty angry about that. I don't know how it got in because the box is pretty well sealed.
The bugs will find a way.
I must have left it open at some point. Anyway, so there's Dermestid, these hide beetles, the ones that are helpful in forensic entomology. They're also really helpful for museums. So if you take a museum specimen and you want clean bones, you just throw them in. You throw like the whole animal in with a colony of these Dermestid beetles. Oh. And they'll clean it down to the bone.
So I think I've seen this before where it's like you want just the skeleton of a snake or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you pin the snake in the position you want the final skeleton to be in. And then you release the hounds that are the beetles, the hide beetles.
Yes.
And then they just pick it clean. So you're not there fussing with each little individual rib of a snake trying to wash it down.
Yeah, you just wait. Because they can't eat through the bone. I actually have several skeletal specimens that producer Derek has sent me of various things, and I'm pretty sure his beetle colony cleaned them down to the bone, which is pretty awesome. Derek, producer Derek, I know you're there. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your beetle colony, your Dermestids?
Yeah, sure. Sorry, cat is friendly today. they mostly eat cat food these days, which is part of the problem. One of the cats will try and flip them over to get Zots. To that. Yes.
Zots.
So I give them some tiki cat, little cat go-gurt once a week. They eat that. They pupate inside styrofoam. So they have a big styrofoam block that they dig into to hide. They hide in some wood shaving substrate, but they're pretty nice little guys. They kind of mostly just walk around. They'll hide if you cast a shadow over them. I've used them to clean a few carcasses, mostly small things, like I have a garter snake that they cleaned really well, and that turned out to be a pregnant garter snake, so I got some like bonus bones.
Oh, wow.
And
that's
then,
very cool.
Yeah, some small mammals, but I don't do it a ton because I don't keep a large enough collection to eat things quickly enough to avoid a smell. So
how big are your beetles, would you say? Like the adults?
The larvae are actually a little bit larger than the adults form. The adults are probably, I don't know, if you squished out a ladybug, like squished it on the side so it got longer, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not they're not the same volume as a ladybug, but they're a little bit thinner. So.
And they're pretty small.
A little bit larger than a grain of rice.
I think when people are picturing them, they might picture a much larger beetle, but they're pretty tiny.
I mean, if you're thinking about large beetles that you keep, the one that first comes to mind is probably the yellow mealworm, because those are commonly used as feeders for reptiles, mm-hmm. So like a superworm or whatever. And those guys are a different family and a little bit larger than these guys. But you can also use them to clean things, but you have to keep a closer eye on it because they will go through bone, whereas these guys go around the bone.
Pretty amazing the difference and how useful they can really be. How long has your colony been going?
I got these guys, I want to say, in 2021. I had one colony that collapsed after I gave them some cat treats that had catnip in them. And catnip is an insecticide. Mm-hmm. So I had to start over for them. Yeah, that's why a lot of plants have those chemicals in them that get mammals intoxicated. It's supposed to be an insecticide.
I think we talked about that with like spicy food, how like spicy food is supposed to deter like, hey, don't eat me, I'm spicy. And humans were like, give me more of that spice. Yum, 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 yum.
Yeah, that it's spicy to mammals, but not to birds.
Which is yeah, birds opinion. Don't have the. So Amanda, how is the drawing for this weird
beetle? I've just realized finish up some of this drawing is I've not made it very heroic. I think we've really leaned into Matter Eater Lad and the idea that like a superhero has to start somewhere. This is his origin story. This is him, a super boy, not yet Superman. He's got a terrible case. Do you know what? I hear it pika a lot, but it might be pika, where like kids compulsively eat things that aren't food.
Oh yeah,
that's what this kid's going through. Unfortunately,
should I check?
Pop over to the art tab right now, and you'll see. All right, issue one of Carpet Beetle's origin story, where he's been discovered.
Is he in a closet?
He's in the closet, and someone has opened the door. We're getting some thematic lighting today. Someone has opened the door to discover him in the closet, having taken a bite out of everything inside.
He is certainly our guiltiest looking superhero.
this is him. This is just his origin. He's about to get sent to Matter Eater Lad School for misbehaved boys who have to eat everything.
Oh boy.
X-Men 97 just came out, by the way.
Yeah.
On time.
Wow. So that little guy is he's having a time. He's having a time in there.
We may have to try again to make it more heroic here.
So I guess let's talk about superpowers. And then we'll see if you can.
Powers will he grow into, yes.
So flight, apparently.
So they claim.
If the journals are to be believed. Barbed bristles. So some species of dermestid larvae have what's called hastaceti. And they're barbed seti that can detach. And they end up kind of entangling predators. Because leave all that hair around.
Right.
And they can also cause health issues in humans. Vomiting, diarrhea if ingested, rashes. It can make it difficult to breathe. They're solving cases. Helping the police. True. So I don't know how we can't really like show that as a superpower, but...
Yeah, I'd have to give him like.
I think he'd be a little Batman-y, like helping the cops out.
Oh my gosh, you're not gonna believe this! You're not gonna believe this, Kelly. What? I can see a carpet beetle on the wall right now.
No, you can't.
No, I'm 100% serious. I cannot believe he heard us talking about it. And he was like, "Girl, you got to try again. You got to make me look better than this." Okay, I'm picking up my phone. I am sending you a picture.
You're gonna set the beetle on your. It's on the ceiling or the wall?
It's on the wall. It's behind the computer monitor. Hold on.
Oh, that's funny. Buddy. Oh, I love you're wearing a Batman sweatshirt today. Speaking of detectives,
there he is. Sorry for my. This is gonna be a blurry picture, but you'll see. I'm sending it to the chat right now. I'm sending it to the live chat.
Of course. I'm looking around to see if there's any carpet beetles on my wall, but I don't see any in here. They tend to like the living room better, which is where the cats hang out. Cats aren't allowed in the office because the plants will make them sick. Oh, that is a carpet beetle.
And the little brown one I always like, this is the guy. When I was saying that it's brown with like variegated, this is the guy I was talking about. That is so, we've never had one show up before.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. Derek, producer Derek, is saying that carpet beetles generally show up on windows.
Oh, there was a big window in this room, yeah.
In my apartment, at least, that has never been the case. They've always been on the wall. Never, like, on a windowsill for me. Just, like, on the wall, hanging out. But we have floor-to-ceiling windows in our apartment. It's very bright, So even the wall probably feels like a window to our carpet beetles. So funny, one popped up.
They don't always show up on those windowsills alive.
Oh, we've got nothing. Not even dead. We get flies occasionally, like a dead fly in the window. But my goodness, matter eater lad, carpet beetle boy, best friends. Both terrible DC heroes.
I have horrible news. He fell off the wall. He fell off the wall. I just watched him fall into nothingness. If only he would fly, he would have been fine.
See? Didn't even attempt to fly. He just fell off the wall.
He must have just, like a rock climber, bouldering. He must have just missed one and just, whoop! He was gone.
An episode. Showing up while we're talking.
Made his appearance and now he's gone. That is... wild. He is like Batman. He was here 1 second. I looked down, I looked up, and he just disappeared. Well, he does not approve. He doesn't want me to air his dirty boy laundry.
Eating clothes.
We need his adult form. Okay. So theoretically, he could fly, and he eats anything, and he's a detective. Anything. We need to give him a what's?
Yeah, he's definitely going to be a little detective.
Detectives have. And magnifying glasses, right? Yeah, that's
give him the Sherlock hat.
Give him
the Sherlock Holmes hat?
Yeah, the Deerstalker, it's called. The fun thing about that that he wears it in like one, like it's like barely mentioned. They're like going to the country. The thing people don't realize about Sherlock Holmes is that he is a very fashionable man. He would never be caught dead wearing a Deerstalker in the city. It's for stalking deer. But somehow it became part of his uniform. All right, we give him the old magnifying glass here. What should he be magnifying? A piece of something or other?
It's something he's going to eat. Maybe a bone.
Oh, yeah, because there you go. Because he doesn't eat the bones. Have a magnifying bone. Else.
Yeah, I think the Dermestid beetles are pretty neat. And if you find a little carpet beetle in your house, take a good look. They're kind of pretty. They have pretty
scale patterns. The brown ones are very pretty, yeah. Kind of like the zoom in on a butterfly's wing.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, well, they're very scaly. Their scales are very pronounced, and that's why you can see all that pattern. So, Amanda, while you're drawing, how many legs would you give Dermestid beetles as a whole?
Oh, I'm not sure, because he's... According to you, he was quite... I thought he was relatively harmless in my modern world where I just have to shake out my closet every now and then. But I also don't have pets currently. I only have children. So for me, he seems pretty harmless. But according to you, he can cause harm by eating all your things. And the variety of things he eats is so impressive. He just pretty much is... If it's made of a carbon-based life form, he will eat it.
He'll chomp.
Chomp chomp. So I'm not sure. I guess I'm gonna go. I'm so sorry because he showed up here. He's listening to me say this right now. He showed up for the episode. I mean, based on the, I'm gonna take the.
But we'll share that photo on social media so everyone can see beetle that bombed our party. Our episode. Yeah.
I think I'm going to take the late night host strategy, which is that every guest you have is telling a great and compelling story and that their next project is amazing, that they're here on the night to show to advertise. So I think I got to be generous and say, even me being generous, I'm really struggling with this one. Okay, I'm going to say 5 out of 6 because he's listening.
He's listening
to me.
Because you don't want to offend the beetle that's in your room right now.
Correct. He's going to eat all my stuff if I don't say something flattering.
He's holding your rating hostage right now.
He really is. If he wasn't here, I'd probably go 3 out of 6. But he is here.
There's probably a carpet beetle somewhere in my room at this very moment, and I'm going to give him a two. Listening. You hear that, carpet beetle?
Oh my gosh.
Two legs.
Two legs. He really doesn't do a whole lot. He's on the PR right now.
Actually, no. I'm going to move that star rating down to one because I've never even seen one star before. Maybe if it flew, I'd bump it back up to two.
But now you're holding his rating hostage. You say, look, bro, I need to see that you can fly.
I need to be compensated for my rating, please.
Yeah, well, once we start taking bribes for good ratings on this show, we're really going to be in trouble.
Then we'll be making money.
Yeah, then we'll be making that bug money, girl. Oh, he still just kind of looks like a child, but we're gonna make it work. We're going to do it.
Well, we've had Silverfish who's just like a guy.
Guy, yeah.
Sometimes we have a guy. It's not quite heroic. Producer Derek is saying boy detective. So, which could be like a little Batman-y. A little baby Batman.
Okay, well, if it's a boy detective, I'm going to give him Hardy Boy Pants. Which, as we know, is bell bottoms. Yeah. Bell bottoms? That's the look.
Oh, boy.
It was the 70s, bruh.
It's going to look like Shaggy.
There's some shaggy.
He's a little shaggy like. Yeah, eating everything.
He's got a dog that also eats everything. Add more bones over here. Is that too morbid if I add more bones?
No. Tarek's saying he loves dogs. He eats dog treats. He eats everything. Carpet beetle eats all.
Oh yeah, him and the dog both eat dog treats. Have you seen Scooby-Doo? What kind of dog eats anything? A bulldog?
I think most dogs eat anything.
Well, I'm going bulldog.
But what's the best? Yeah, I think a bulldog is a good choice. Is this our first hero with a pet?
I think so.
I don't think we've had any other than my spider sona where I had all the cats.
Right. They were part of they also had spider powers, I believe. So. Oh my gosh, so wumpily. What a wumple. I'm drawing a bulldog without reference, so don't come for me if this bulldog is not correct. If I'm honest, it looks more like a pug. But that's okay.
Well, so close enough, I think.
I think bulldogs and pugs.
You gotta give them those. You gotta give them those bowed out bulldog legs.
Yeah. Let me bow his leg even more, I think. I had it bowy, but I think I need to bow him out even more. And give him some slobber. I could not do a slobbery dog. I think they're really cute, but I could not handle it.
I couldn't deal with all the... No. No. My neighbor across the street growing up had a bulldog, and he was very slobbery. Very sweet. Very, very sweet dog, but
I couldn't
slobbery.
Do a big dog either. I couldn't handle the maintenance a big dog takes.
Oh, I want a big dog. We get a house eventually, and I'm not living in an apartment. I love a real big dog. Or another border collie. I had a border collie growing up, and she was awesome. The smart of that dog was pretty amazing.
I don't think I could do a border collie because I think it would need too much stimulus for the type of lifestyle
they do.
I live.
They need a lot of... We used to go running together. It was great. Mm.
I've heard Australian shepherds are that way too. Like, they're super smart, but like, you have to be willing to run this dog 2 miles a day.
Because it's any working dog needs to be run. You can't buy a working dog and then not give them plenty of exercise. If you want a dog that doesn't want to move a lot, get, you know, I don't know. I think my friends have what are their dog? It looks like a pug, but it's not a pug.
A Boston Terrier.
Like a Boston Terrier, and that
or a French Bulldog. Those are all kind of in that.
Those
same
dogs barely move.
That's what I want.
They don't really do a whole lot. They just kind of hang out.
My dream dog would be a Chug, which would be a Chihuahua pug mix, and I think he would do nothing, and I think that'd be great. I really like Pomeranians, but I think they're a stubborn breed.
They have a lot of energy.
Yeah,
they have
a lot of energy. I don't think it's the right. I mean, it's hard to say because my boy is really active, but I don't know because we've never had a pet. What kind of pet owner he'd be? So I would want to start with an easy dog and then move my way up into more complicated dogs.
Well, doesn't Cody want a cat? Are you considering
a
cat?
Yes, Cody loves cats. And his, by extension, his kids love cats because they've only ever known cats because their grandmother has cats. But
gotta rescue a kitty.
I do need to rescue one. I just don't think my youngest is old enough yet. I think she will torment a cat that lives in our house. So soon, but not just yet.
I think a cat can get away from a 2-year-old.
Now you don't know the speed with which
the lightning strike
of a toddler on the run. Okay, I have another boy detective now.
All right.
He's probably about 15 now instead of 12 and hiding in the closet.
Well, that's for a whole other reason.
Well, yeah, you know. It's not June yet, Kelly. You got to keep it careful out there.
Oh, that's not what I meant. I meant, like, you know, teenage boys.
That's what I meant.
No one needs to hide in June. June is for everybody.
June's for everybody.
Get out there. Get out there. Enjoy the parade.
Yeah.
We always have a great parade here in my city. It's a lot of fun.
We usually have a good parade, but there's been a lot of drama around it lately, so it's been a thing. All right, upload a file.
All right, let me check this out.
Not as much dramatic lighting now.
That's ridiculous. He's like, hello. Look at that dog. He looks like a frog.
He's got real frog energy, this dog.
Yeah, he's got frog energy, which is what you're going for. You want like that Pac-Man frog that just eats everything.
Nom, 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 nom. That's what I want. I want this dog. You can hear him coming from like a mile away. All you hear just like
I kind of want you to use both images because they're both very funny. Like,
yeah,
this is
sure.
What he was when he was little, and now he's
big. We're on like a saga with him, really. Book one, he's just a poor kid who doesn't know who he is. He's eating sweaters, hoping his mom doesn't find out. His mom's like, what can I do to refocus your energy so that, you know, you'll stop eating all the stuff in my house. And then he gets really into detective work. Yeah.
Find the bones. I think we've gone on a journey.
We
with
have
the Dermestids. A journey that we will pick up when we do a forensic entomology episode. We'll get a lot more into that kind of detail. And I guess when we do the forensic entomology one, maybe we'll put a little warning on it because it might get kind of
bleak,
graphic.
Mm-hmm.
But this one I think was pretty. I tried to keep it as light as possible because I want folks to listen to this about the carpet beetles. Because they are very, very hot right now. Or they will be in the next
couple of days. So the long and short of it is you find a little brown beetle in your house or a little dark beetle in your house, he's fine. Just keep him away from your closets because he will eat your stuff. Yeah. If you must set him free, try to set him free near a tree where he may find a bird nest to go live in, I guess. Don't crunch him up. That's rude.
With your thumbnail, Amanda?
Well, you know, sometimes you're an 8-year-old and you don't know better.
Yeah, I just toss them out the window. I don't know if they'll make it or not.
Yeah, but we set one free yesterday. We found one in my youngest's room and we just opened the window and let him fly. I did have to re-find him though. I took pictures for Derek and then I lost him and then I had to find him again. And I was like, there he is.
Well, I think that's the end of our Dermestid journey. If you want to sing us out, Amanda, or chat us out, or however you want to do it today.
If you want to find us invading your home, we will invade your home on Reddit, on Instagram, on whatever Twitter's calling itself these days. And
the Facebook.
And the Facebook. And as always, we love you. Bye. Boop, 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 boop. Bugs Need Heroes was created by Derek Conrad and Kelly Zimmerman. Hosted by Amanda Allen Knighty and Kelly Zimmerman. Bugs Need Heroes is produced and edited by Derek Conrad, with some assistance from Chelsea Bodden and a few cats. Character art is by Amanda Allen Knighty. Our music is Ladybug Castle by Roll Music. Got a bug question? Email us at bugsneedheroes@gmail.com. Check us out at bugsneedheroes.com. And most of the socials are under Bugs Need Heroes. Thank you to the Entomological Society of America for the Chrysalis Fund grant.
Don't turn on the dehumidifier, Zots.
Zots is too dry in there. Yeah, he's, or too wet.
It's too loud if it turns on. He's standing on it.